And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joseph, good morning. How are we doing?
Well, I went to play basketball with my son, and he was kind of coughing and stuff. And then I had a big water, and he took a drink of my water. I said, "Are you sick?" He's like, "No, I'm fine. I feel myself getting sick right now." So I'm not necessarily, he may not be the culprit, but I'm just going to blame him publicly. But also, I'm going to apologize to you guys if I'm getting sick.
Appreciate it.
If you need me to leave, let me know.
Okay, we'll let you know. Nick Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Well, Joe, I hope it's just allergies. Let's just hope it's allergies.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, he is a huge allergy kid, but that's not really.
I am too.
That's not been a big issue for me. So,
well, good.
It is. But
we live in a bad state for that.
Well, I know we do. It's good, except that when stuff like this happens, that's probably not the answer.
It's probably not allergies.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Robbie, especially.
I hope Treylon Burks is sorry for his allergies, too.
I didn't.
Wow. Treylon Burks catches some strays.
There we go. Let me take a shot at Treylon Burks. No, I really didn't start feeling it coming on until I was like midway through my drive here. I'm like, oh, no.
Good.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sucks, man. Really sorry to break it to you.
So what you're saying is we're pretty much screwed here in the next few days. All right, cool.
Containment center, you stay right in there, Joe.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be fine.
Biodome.
Yeah. We got a lot to get to. On the program today, Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock for her weekly visit. Adam Vingan at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. And we'll get into Titans with Caroline, Preds with Caroline, Preds with Adam. There's a lot going on today with Predators Game 5 coming up tonight between them and the Canucks. We'll see if they can stave off elimination and force a Game 6 back here in Nashville. And we'll take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, we had Rand Carthon on the program yesterday. The Titans draft complete. We went through the picks one by one yesterday. And one of the things that I asked Carthon yesterday was, how good do you think this team is? How much better do you think you've gotten this offseason? It's been a very busy offseason for the Tennessee Titans. When free agency, they were very active, one of the most active teams in the league in free agency. You have the trade of L'Jarius Sneed. And now the draft process is complete as well. So I'm sure that there will be more moves that the Titans make between now and the first snap that they take in training camp. But right now, the busy portion of the NFL offseason is concluded at this point with the draft behind them. So I ask you the same thing I asked Carthon yesterday. As you sit here today on April the 30th, how much better do you think this Titans team is than the one that finished the season? Is it better?
Well, yeah, it's better. I mean, it's definitely better. I think you really have to have a huge loss. I guess people would say, well, have you heard of Derrick Henry? Like, I'm trying to think, like, most off seasons you would say a team's better, right? Other than those off seasons where a team, like, trades away A.J. Brown
sure.
or something like that. Or, you know, losing Derrick Henry is – obviously, I mean, that's one of their best football players when he's gone. But, yeah, they're better, and I think potentially significantly better. You know, I mean, the biggest question about that to me is the offensive line, and it's still hard to answer that. But, I mean, look, we've talked about it. I mean, cornerback is dramatically better. Look, I think there's just so many variables and so many unknowns with some of the question of are they better, right? I mean, is Tavondre Sweat going to be what they would not move off 38 for fear of losing him? Is he going to be that guy, you know, the guy that, I mean, you watch him play in college football, that's a guy who can help you. Is he going to be the best version of himself? Is Calvin Ridley a star? Is Calvin Ridley – you know, a top, like, what's his ceiling in this league? What's Calvin Ridley's ceiling in the NFL as a receiver? Top 10, 12 range? I mean, I think he could be in there, in that range, at his very best.
Sure.
You know, is that what you're getting from him? And then, you know, I mean, it's a different question. I mean, it's not about, like, Levis is still Levis, but that's going to be a big part of, like, the success this year. But they've improved the offensive – to me, they've improved the offensive line. They've improved the receiving core. They've obviously improved cornerback. I can't say that the defensive line is better, not when you lose Danico Autry. I mean, Sweat, I think, could be special, but, I mean, Autry was just a really good player. They really didn't improve outside linebacker. I guess I'm just going to go through all the positions now. They did not really improve safety. So, you know, some they have. And then have they gone backward at running back? Yeah, I would say they have.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'd also say with running back, they made a nice add. And for what they want to do, there are some pluses to this tandem. I mean, I think it's a good tandem. Not great, but good.
I agree. Like, I think they're certainly different. And the one caveat to this entire discussion that we just simply don't know, and there's a few things we don't know. And you know, they've made a lot of signings. How many of them are going to actually be good? How many of them are going to flame out? I mean, you're going to have some both probably if the odds stay what they normally are in terms of signings that you make in an offseason. But I think the unknown is, like, Brian Callahan, first-year head coach, offensive system, offensive play caller for the first time. Like, what does that all look like? And how quickly does it take to get up to speed is probably not the right term, but how quickly does it take for him to get acclimated to being a first-time head coach and to being a first-time play caller and everything that goes with that in the National Football League? Like, how does that factor into the early season success or struggles of the Tennessee Titans? The interesting thing to look at here, and I've brought this up before, you know, even after the draft, the win totals for the Tennessee Titans on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 6.5 wins is the line, and the over is in plus money, the under in minus money. So -134 for under 6.5 wins right now for the Tennessee Titans. I was looking because I'm sick in the head. And I just wanted to see if I could find some mock drafts for next year and, like, where people were putting the Titans. And they're all really high, like 4th, 3rd,
yeah,
2nd, 1st. I found one on PFF that just goes by Super Bowl odds for next year, and the Titans are 4th on that one. Which, by the way, they have James Pierce Jr. of Tennessee being the number one overall pick.
So there's that, too. No, there's definitely some thought of that. How about that?
Yeah, so that's a different discussion for a different day, but I found that one to be pretty interesting. So bottom line is the outward expectation for the Tennessee Titans is still to be a pretty bad football team next year. And it's easy, I think, for me, and I think certainly for a lot of people around here, to look around and say, well, guys, have you really paid attention to what the Titans have done this offseason? And I think for most people, the answer is probably no, they haven't. And yet still, Joe, I remember last year when I was sitting here looking at preseason win totals and everybody talking about how bad the Titans are going to be. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't think they're going to be that bad. And then they ended up being pretty close to that bad.
Yeah, WHMR.
So makes me kind of doubt. Effect. I don't want to have a repeat of last offseason where the entire NFL world is telling us how bad the Titans are going to be, and us here locally are like, yeah, I don't think so, bud. Not that that's always the case, because they've done that before, and they've been totally wrong about the Titans, but just last year they were not. They were right.
They were. But we can't be afraid to be homers,
no.
Again, if need be. But no, yeah, it's going to be a very popular pick that the Titans are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. I get it. I do think that some of it is, well, I guess it's kind of the same story as it has been, which is the rest of the league doesn't think much of the Titans quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, it starts there, I think.
For sure. No question about it. I do think one thing that is inarguable, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and we'll see how it all plays out in terms of what that means and how they can execute. The talent level on the offensive side as a whole, I think, is clearly better. When you have Hopkins already there, you have Ridley in, you have Cushenberry in at the center position. Latham has an incredible amount of talent. We'll see what that means in terms of how he can put it on the field. Year two of Skoronski, Pollard, Spears in the background. Like, there's, I think, good talent there. I don't know exactly what that's going to translate to, and certainly I'm still not convinced that there's enough quality depth there where if they run into one or two injuries, it's not going to just totally derail them on the offensive side of the ball. But I do feel a little bit better. It's not great, but I do feel a little bit better about the talent level on the offensive side of the ball than I think we did overall last year, even with Derrick Henry, a very talented football player, out the door the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better. I mean, Latham is certainly an addition of big-time talent. Ridley is an addition of big-time talent. Some of the improvement that you're going to need from the offense, from the team in general, is definitely Skoronski taking a jump. I think Spears taking a jump. You know, Spears, I think, you know, certainly can be better than he was last year, and I think that's definitely what they envision with him. You know, we haven't talked about tight end yet, but that's another – that's kind of a – They've got an undrafted Iowa kid. So if you got an Iowa tight end, you know, then you that's something.
Chances are it might turn out to be okay.
Iowa tight ends tend to work out. But Chig and Wiley, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously disappointing sophomore season for Chig, and Wiley was hurt a lot as a rookie, but I think he's solid. But that hasn't, you know, changed much. But also, of course, Petit Frere. I mean, Petit Frere is – to me, he's the guy. I know, you know, maybe a Raiden's too, but I look at Petit Frere as a guy with just some more meat on the bone there, so to speak. And then Burks is probably that he's a lot more. I mean, you're basically out on him and think he should be cut from the NFL altogether and, you know, go play catch with Marcus Mariota, basically.
Of a backyard football team.
But There's some hope there. Look, Carthon was he was, I would say, more vocal about like Burks, and maybe it's one of those things where if you were gonna ask him specifically about anybody, he's gonna be very positive. But I mean, he had some kind of strong statements about him yesterday.
I agree, and look, I really do hope that he figures everything out this year. I just cannot. I cannot allow myself to go there again until I see it.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
I already see it from some Titans fans, and I don't blame you. Like, it's easy to talk yourself into it. Well, you know, we talk about this all the time. When the old system is out the door, everything that went wrong ends up being their fault. It's Vrabel.
Right.
Vrabel's gone. So now that Vrabel's gone,
the old guys were total idiots.
That's going to unlock Treylon Burks, and they're going to be able to keep him healthy, and they're going to be able to figure out how to use him in the offense. And maybe that's true. That would be great. But I cannot allow myself to go there until I see it.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah, that's fair. The one thing that, you know, Rand said in particular, said he's had a great offseason, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wow, that's interesting because we have some people looking at some photos that are just, I don't know, measuring cheek size. So,
615,
are you sure about that?
737-1025 is our phone number. How good is this Tennessee Titans team? The draft is over. The meat of free agency, the big part of it, is done as well. And this is essentially, maybe save a spot here or there, the team that you're going to see coming up in the fall. How good do we think this Titans team is? We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Throwing the question out there, the Titans roster largely complete at this point. Now, I would assume, Joe, they're probably going to make another move or two in free agency. I think safety is an interesting position that they could still go add from. But largely, this is what they're going to be. The draft's done, free agency, the meat of it's done. How good is this team? Is it a good team? Can they compete for a playoff spot this year? Are they going to be basically what they were last year, which is not great? Are they going to be what some people think of just absolutely downright terrible? I mean, I've seen some of that floated out there too. How good is this team going to be? We're taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025.
My buddy Ralph Russo from the AP put him out as the number one pick.
I saw that.
Now, then, of course, I was totally guilty because Teresa called him out. It's like, I totally disagree with my coworker. But and he tweeted at me, he's like, well, if you would have clicked on it, that was a trade. I'm like, see, I'm guilty of tweet attacking someone and didn't click on the thing. But still, it was like, I think they still were like ninth or something before that. Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to pick them to be one of the worst teams. Everybody picked the Cleveland Browns, or I'm not the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans last year to be one of the worst teams too. So, you know. Now, they had some dramatic changes, and they went as well as they could possibly go. But, you know, point being, there's always teams every year. The Rams and the Rams last year. Who else? Texans.
Yes.
And there's another team I'm forgetting that was, the Bucks were not supposed to be good at all, and they made the playoffs. I mean, it happens every year.
According to you, the Lions?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, but understand the occasional, the Lions will do that occasionally.
I hear you.
Every few decades tease just to keep everybody with them. So it actually works out perfectly for the torment of Lions fans.
That's good.
But, yeah, the Titans, you don't forget the schedule. You know, I mean, that is part of this too. Now, that's another thing about schedules. You're like, ooh, that's an easy one, and that's a tough one. And then, you know, a lot of these teams turn out to not be what we think they are. But when you have a last-place schedule, I mean, that's got to help you some, right?
You would think so. Now, having said that, you look at their schedule, and there's the obvious. C.J. Stroud twice. You got Jordan Love. You got Joe Burrow. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Josh Allen. There's a lot of – you got Herbert, Tua. A lot of pretty good quarterbacks they're taking on this year.
Yeah.
That's the story of the league now. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. But Titans are seeing a good number of them this year in terms of the quarterback quality they're playing.
That's true. I mean, in this stadium, you're going to get Rodgers. You're going to get Love. Oh, how excited you are. Mm. And you're going to get Burrow. And maybe Joe Milton, because, by the way, the Patriots coming in, too.
That is true.
And J.J. McCarthy.
Drake May.
With the Vikings.
Step aside, son. Here's Joe Milton.
That's right. And then you got to go on the road to see, like you said, all your
– Jared Goff.
Well, you do. You have to go see Jared Goff, and you got to go see Caleb Williams, Tua, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Interesting quarterback.
Very
matches.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, from just that position perspective, it's either like, you know, establish really good players or the most intriguing rookies in the, you know, the most intriguing. I mean, so they're taking on the top three drafted quarterbacks.
Yeah, which I guess I didn't realize till right now when you're saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which goes with a last place schedule, but that's the thing. When teams stink, then they draft quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
Exactly. Well, then in your own division, you know, Stroud was so good last year. That offense on paper is totally loaded at this point, so you know that that's going to be a problem to deal with. And then there's the wild card of this whole thing, which I do think factors directly into how good or not good the Titans are going to be this year. You're going to have to play Indy twice. I have no clue what Anthony Richardson is. So if Anthony Richardson is great and he can stay healthy, well, obviously that's a big problem for you if you're the Titans. If he's terrible and he can't stay healthy or he's just not good when he's out there this year, that's a big positive for you if you're the Titans. So that's the one part of this just from sitting here in April trying to guess the schedule part of this. I have no clue what to expect from Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts this year. None whatsoever.
No, I agree. I mean, the way I look at the division, I wrote this the other day, but I mean, to me, it's at this point you have to expect the Titans and Colts to be battling for third place. I mean, that's how I would pick it, you know. I mean, the Texans are clearly on paper, I think, the favorite. I think Jacksonville is the clear two. Some may disagree with me, but that's how I look at it. And then Titans and Colts are I think, both much harder teams to pin down. I think, and both, you know, largely because of quarterback. But I'm with you. The Colts are very, very interesting and up in the air. Chris Ballard is out there.
Got a lot of hair. Chris Ballard's let the hair grow a little bit.
He's let the hair grow.
Unnerving.
He's let the F-bombs flow.
Yeah.
I liked his diatribe about people ripping the prospects down, but, you know, it's also like, I mean, like it or not, that's what happens this time of year, you know? But, he's got to be.
Like He-Man up there.
But
he's mad, huh? All right.
I mean, this has got to be, well, who knows? Who knows with Jim Irsay? And he's got stuff, you know, going on. But I got to think Ballard he's close, right? Like, they've got to show something here. I mean, it's Richardson.
Yeah.
It's very much Richardson. And I'm open to the massive range of possibilities with Anthony Richardson. I mean, I think he's a special talent, but I just don't know.
Skyler on the text line says, what's hard to tell is the AFC South as a whole has gotten a lot better the past few years. That's why the win totals are so low for the Titans. Chip from Mount Juliet says, how could this team be any worse than last year? Surely their record will improve.
You don't know that, Chip.
Easy to think that.
You don't know that, Chip, and don't call me Shirley.
That's right. That's right. I mean, look, I like a lot about what we saw from Levis last year. But you are dealing with a first-time head coach. It is a first-time play caller. It is an offensive line that, while I do think the talent has improved now with what you've done in the draft, how many times have we seen rookies go in there and not be ready to play, right? I mean, what if that happens with Latham?
Sure.
I mean, there's still a scenario where they have a bad offensive line this year. I mean, what if he can't play left tackle? What if he can't play right tackle at like a high level to start? Like, what do you do at that point if you're the Titans on the offensive line? So, I mean, I feel better about the offensive line, but I don't know. I mean, it could be bad. We'll see what happens on that front. And then Levis. Like, Levis, I like a lot of what I saw. I still think, you know, Levis, there were some games where he didn't play well last year. This is his second year. I have no idea if he's going to be a good NFL quarterback or not. So what if he's not? I mean, right there is just the path to not being a very good football team right there, if that's how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, isolated to him. I mean, I do think – well, I think, don't know, that he's going to have more time to throw. I think, you know, and we're going to find out, of course, on the coaching side of things and the system and all that stuff. But, I mean, just pin it down to him. And, yeah, if he's – a lot closer to what they hope he is, then could this team have a winning record and push for a playoff spot? Yes. And also he could be a lot worse than that, and then you could be looking at an under when last year you won six games. You could win fewer games than that.
Keith from Just Bowling Green says, if Petit Frere can fill the right tackle spot, they should be pretty good. David from Fairview says, I think the Titans will finish next season around 500. Optimism I have is an overall improved talent within the organization and coaching. I think we'll see a glimpse of hope for our future, which is essentially where we have been for the last three seasons. This is from David from Fairview.
Well, I mean, two years ago, it was still the favorite to win the AFC South and actually was at Thanksgiving with a four-game lead in the AFC South. So it's changed pretty quickly here in a season and a half of football, like jobs lost.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it goes fast in this league.
It does. Santa in Portland says, it'll all play out when Coach Brian Callahan plays the starters in the preseason with a smiley face. We'll get back into that.
Let's hope.
They're going three quarters, all of them, every preseason game. I'm here for it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans. How good do you think this team will be and can be in 2024 now that we know for the most part their roster is set? More discussion on that. We'll go through the Titans position by position as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Anytime we can play the Tennessee Oilers theme song, I'm down with it. Shout out to Ronnie Dunn.
It's a jam.
It is a jam. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. How good do you think this Tennessee Titans team can be in 2024? Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, good friends. How are you?
Awesome, Kenny. Thank you.
Not only do I want to answer your question, I want to scientifically answer your question so you can bank on it. Is that okay?
It's fine with me.
Sounds great.
Well, I was digging through some my old toys, and guess what? I found my magic 8-ball. Did y'all ever have one of those?
Sure did.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me get the dust off of it. Shake it. How good are the Titans going to be, magic 8-ball? Answer is murky. Try again. Hold on. I'm shaking it. Answer is murky. Try again. You know what? That's the answer, because right now, they're not even a team. They're a collection of football athletes that are going to have to gel together, going to have to mold together, going to have to learn new schemes, new coaching. Half of this team has, 2 years or less on this team. So the two stupidest things I think people do, they'll pull the schedule out already. We're going to win this one. We're going to lose this one. We're going to lose this one. And then let's throw a grade on our draft last week. And so it's like we got to take a deep breath. And this is something maybe by the end of July you can have some hints and a pulse of how they've come together. But this is one of those questions that are way too early. I'm going to hang up and go ask this question, the eight ball, some more questions.
Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate
it. Have a great day.
You too.
Nice. Kenny just basically took down NFL media as an entire, as an industry there.
That was good. I always feel like I learned something new when Kenny calls in.
Yes.
Very illustrative.
I enjoy Kenny. Also, I'm going to invoke Jared. We do a daily talk show here, so I'd like to wait and just hold off. I mean, really, we should wait until we watch him actually play football. But
what's the fun in that?
We can't do that. Yeah. So,
although now
B minus
the Magic 8 Ball, I miss those things.
Yeah,
gotta go find me one.
I love some Magic 8 Ball.
Absolutely. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in, Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey guys. Well, it's not too early for me. I think we're going to be pretty good. We got offensive weapons finally. We have an offensive line. We had none of that last year. We actually have a real team that can compete. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. Will's going to take another step, I believe. Offensive line, I mean, the defense is starting to stack up, and we're getting the needs. We got the best corners we've ever had. Safety, I think we need to add May or Diggs. Which one would y'all rather have, Marcus May or Diggs from Seattle?
Yep, thanks for the call, Kyle. Appreciate it.
It's also Justin Simmons.
That would probably be my answer, is Simmons. Between May and Diggs, I mean, I've always kind of liked Diggs, to be honest with you, but, I mean, either one would be fine with me. Like, I think that's the luxury of this offseason is there's a lot of really good safeties available that I don't think are going to cost you a ton of money. So I would probably go Simmons one. I like Diggs. I'd put Diggs two.
Yeah. And remember, I mean, there's other teams, you know, that talking about those safeties too. So that's where the price could get driven up a little bit. But, yeah, I do think it would definitely behoove them to get one of those guys. We got a texture that says Levi's might be a flop. I think Rand's aware of this. That's why they took a veteran QB in free agency instead of another rookie in the draft. Well, they got a backup quarterback. I mean, you got to get a. I mean, they weren't going to draft a quarterback at the top of the draft. I guess unless they came across that scenario we talked about, and they were like, "Well, Drake May somehow fell, and we think he's going to be the next great quarterback, and he's the top guy on our board." But they were not going to draft someone, I think, to be the backup. Right? They have the young developmental quarterback already here in Malik Willis. And so they had to. I don't think the veteran QB signing has anything at all to do with what they think of Will Levis. They are building around Will Levis, and they're optimistic that he can be their quarterback. But they had to get a veteran to be the backup.
Well, had they not signed Rudolph, and they went and drafted somebody like in the fourth round to be the backup quarterback, you'd be thinking, well, how could you not go get a veteran for Will Levis to have somebody in the room that way? So that's what the Rudolph sign. They didn't bring in Mason Rudolph with the idea of, all right, guys, if Levis doesn't play well, Rudolph, that's where we're going. He's going to be the starter.
Yeah, no.
Be some insurance in case Levis gets hurt.
He is a
mentor.
He is a backup QB.
He's a backup QB. No question about that. The one, you know, Kyle just mentioned the defense coming together. I feel good about corner, obviously. We'll see. I expect them to make probably another move at safety. We'll see where that comes from. A couple of things about the defense that still worry me. Inside linebacker still worries me, and I realize they just drafted somebody, but you're talking about a rookie at that point that could potentially be wearing the green dot. You brought in Kenneth Murray in the offseason and free agency. It's been a little hit or miss with him so far in his career. And then the other spot that worries me on defense right now is edge rusher. You've got Harold Landry that you feel really good about. I think Sweat on the inside, if he can get on the field and play to the level in which he's going to be expected to play, that's going to help everybody. But that other edge rusher spot outside of Landry still worries me if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, no, I agree. So real quick, if you go through just last year, this year, roster to roster comparisons. Yep. Okay. QB, I say worse. I mean, because you lost Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, interested to see what goes on with him. The draft, the dust is settled. Where is he going to be?
Like most people would admit that you'd probably rather have Tannehill than Rudolph.
I would hope so. Running back, worse. Have to go worse. You lost Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Tight end, exactly the same. Wide receiver, better for sure. I mean, Ridley,
yeah.
That's a big-time signing. Offensive line, better. I mean, Cushenberry is a very good signing.
For sure.
And of course, you bring in Latham. Defensive line, worse. You know, you lose Autry. I mean, obviously, you hope that this year you forget about him because Sweat is such a difference maker. But right now, I have to say that. Edge, the same. Linebacker, I got to say worse. I mean, Alshire was a good player, not a great player, but you could count on him, you know, to be out there every week and make plays, and we're just going to have to see. But on paper, I have to say worse. Cornerback, I put way better.
Yeah, light like, years better.
I mean, the transformation there is like, wow. And safety is it's the same as the end of the year. Obviously, it's worse than like when they had Kevin Byard at the beginning of the year, but it's the same. Special teams, I'd put the same. And coaching is
to be determined.
Yeah.
There are certain parts about the coaching that I feel pretty good about. Like Bill Callahan, clearly better.
Yeah, right. The O-line coach transition, I mean, you have improved tremendously. But there's just a whole bunch of we'll find out. There was a whole bunch of we'll find out with Vrabel.
Well,
Vrabel came in and it was like first time head coach and we'll see.
But to your point, I mean, you just went through the position groups there. That was a pretty good amount of worse on the position groups, right? I mean,
yeah, but
not across the board, but.
But the biggest one that's a worse that, like, is deceiving is quarterback, right? Because
correct.
I'm just saying player for player. I'm not accounting for player improvement.
Right.
You know, I'm just talking about adds or subtractions in personnel.
Which is also what you're hoping for at tight end, because tight end is, on paper, pretty underwhelming for the Titans right now, and you're hoping that either an Okonkwo or a Wiley, or preferably both, take a big step this year. And I realize after what we saw last year and talking about Okonkwo in the preseason and then what he did in the regular season, there wasn't much there. Like, I'm not holding my breath that there's a gigantic amount of improvement there, but you're hoping for that to be the case under Brian Callahan.
Yeah. You're hoping for improvement there. You're hoping for that's the thing. You don't really have – I mean, like an edge and safety, it's just kind of like you got to add players, I think. But D-line, I said worse, and I think they're going to miss Autry. At the same time, you know, I do think that Sweat – I like the Day or Sebastian Joseph, right, taking out the Day.
I think so.
Yeah. I like that add, and obviously Sweat is – Sweat's – you know, Sweat is not just – to me, kind of the key to like what this draft class will actually be graded when we can grade a draft class. But Sweat's a big part of like this season to me, you know? Like they need him to be, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, of course, took a long time into his rookie season because of the ACL to even be able to play. But when he did play, I mean, it started to really make a difference. Like he made some big, he had some big moments and goal line situations right away as a rookie. I mean, they need Sweat to like be a difference maker from the start.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. Because if he's not, then pretty quickly you look around and there's not enough help in there for Jeffrey Simmons. And like, and that's the other part of this too. Like Jeffrey Simmons, we know what he is. Like to me, he's got to play better than he did last year. And some of that's going to be dependent on the people around him. But I think you need to see a higher level from Simmons next season than we saw a year ago. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Make sure you're tuning in to 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch, 6:35. Coverage available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Sounds baseball coverage presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft as well. I got a texter that says, Special teams won't be full strength, obviously, until Stonehouse returns. So same as the end of last year, but worse than full strength. That is going to be interesting. Like, when is old Stoney going to be available?
Yeah, the same is definitely counting him. And, yeah, that's a good question.
A lot of people very upset on the text line, by the way, that you mentioned Malik Willis, who is, in fact, still on the team.
Okay. Why are you upset,
people? Mo. Hang on. Why is Malik Willis still on the team? Lenny, release Malik. Very, very, very upset at Malik Willis.
It will be interesting with Malik Willis. I mean, first of all, I suppose you could look at it like, hey, if he takes another – he did take a step. He took a step from rookie year to second year. If he took another step, can he compete with Mason Rudolph to be the backup quarterback? I mean, I would guess not. I would guess it's Mason Rudolph coming in, be QB2. Based on what he's done in this league, he's won football games. He's, you know, he's performed pretty well at times when he's been on the field.
I think the bigger question
is there value in having a third quarterback. There is the new rule now,
right? I think the bigger question, like, is Malik Willis going to be on the team by the time training camp gets done?
Yeah,
or are they
going to? That's what I'm saying.
Go in a different direction.
Oh, going a different direction for another QB?
Yeah. Could you pick up somebody?
I guess you could do that too. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, there's also – I haven't seen a question about Caleb Farley in a while, which – I mean,
I'm sure you just invited one.
Probably good. Yeah. But, you know, obviously they're moving on at the cornerback position. I mean, he's in a fight to be on the team as a special teams guy.
Right.
You know, that's basically what it is.
It's basically what it is.
And, you know, cornerback depth.
For sure. I mean there's – corner, as we kind of laid out, I mean, the starting three is obviously what you feel really good about. Like, when you're identifying parts of the team that you feel great about, Cheeto, Legarius Sneed, Roger McCreary, I mean, those three guys at corner are up near the top of the list of things that you feel really good about, especially on that side of the ball, but really for the team overall. I am interested to see once the kind of the bullets are live here and real NFL regular season play is underway, how much of a difference is that actually going to make for this group defensively if you don't get the level of pass rush that you hope to get? Because right now, like, there's a lot to me that's going to have to go right if they're going to get a really good pass rush this year out of the group they currently have. So if that's the case, how is that going to affect the back end, no matter how good some of these guys are?
Yeah, it's – You can easily envision the talk of, oh my gosh, they invested so much in corner and it's not that much better, which will probably be what people are talking about if they have no pass rush. You have to have both. Now, Denard Wilson, there's you know, obviously you want a four man pass rush, but Denard Wilson is definitely comes from, you know, he has an aggressive pass.
Oh yeah.
And so you expect that there's gonna be probably more aggression in terms of pressuring than the previous staff. Now, of course, they would do it more as out of necessity in certain stretches when they weren't getting four-man pass rush. But how does that work? You know, if you're creatively sending pressures and when you can press and you feel good about, you know, sticky coverage to go with it, maybe you can compensate a little bit for if you're not getting enough pass rush. And like I said earlier, if you do have Tavondre Sweat, I mean, that's the thing. Some people are like, Tavondre Sweat, two down linemen, and yeah, great, he's a run stopper. And then others, including the Titans, say, no, he's a three down player, and they think that he can make a difference even in those situations.
Well, if he's going to be that, though, I mean, he's got – you were talking yesterday about his goal to get down to, you know, 350, 355, somewhere in that neighborhood. If you're going to be three down player in the NFL, you got to do that. You can't be playing at 388 in the NFL.
Right. I mean, and his snap numbers were not huge at Texas. Now they were loaded, and Byron Murphy, they had a bunch of, you know, but yeah, for sure, he's going to have to be in top shape. But so there's just so many variables. But I agree. But the pass rush has to help. I mean, I think Landry. Considering how he came off that ACL, you feel good about him. And it's just, yeah, that's the one of those spots where you really, like, if they could have, you know, if they had a third-round pick, I bet you it's the edge, you know, who now you have. And I know Jalen Harrell, he was a good college player, but, you know, you're still, you're talking about, like, Harrell and Caleb Murphy, kind of like you hope one of those guys maybe rises up. But as of now, it's like you have decent guys on the other side and Key and Weaver.
So let me ask you this, because, look, this is putting the cart way before the horse, but we've seen this happen in the NFL. What happens if Levis comes out here in year two and he's just really good? Like, from the jump, you see it and you're like, man, okay, that guy is a dude. And he's playing at a really high level, and he has figured out how to play the game at the NFL level in terms of trusting what he sees, letting it rip, making good decisions with the ball. The system that Brian Callahan installs is a perfect fit for Will Levis. And it's evident from the jump this year that he is really good and they're going to play really well on the offensive side of the ball. How good is this team then if he is that level of good, which I'm not going to discount that being a possibility. I'm not expecting it, but I'm not going to discount that being a possibility.
Yeah, well, if he's that level of good, that means that other things are also working to, like, give him a chance. So, I mean, I feel like you know, that means the offensive line got a lot better, probably. And it probably means things are working with both backs. And, maybe, you know, you can see where it all could fit together. You know, the offensive line is obviously a huge part of it. But, yeah, if he plays at a high level, which certainly is possible, I can't wait to see what these guys do with him, what he's done in the offseason. I think, as we've talked about a lot with him, I think, you know, I don't think that whenever Will Levis's career is – defined, I don't think there's gonna be anybody looking back and saying he didn't do enough, you know, or he didn't maximize himself. It's just a matter of, can you consistently be accurate and can you not make those occasional bad decisions and all that stuff. I think he's got the ability to be really good.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the draft for the Titans, her thoughts on game 5 coming up tonight between the Predators and the Canucks as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.